Did the Blessed Virgin Mary die? Hi, I'm Mike Mason. This is St. Joe Society Podcast. St. Joe Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men order all things to Christ as they grow strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to check out more about us, you can see us online at stjosephsociety.org. This is episode 8 of the St. Joseph Bootcamp. And the question before us today is, did the Blessed Virgin Mary die? Now, at first glance, in light of what we've been discussing in the last few weeks, you might want to say no. The Blessed Virgin Mary did not suffer the stains of any original sin or personal sin. We discovered in previous podcasts that one of the punishments of original sin is to die, and that immortality was a gift that was given to Adam and Eve. Since Mary didn't suffer from original sin, it seems pretty clear she wouldn't die. However, the church is very clear on this one, that Mary did in fact suffer temporal death. In fact, in Luguidat's book, he says this: for Mary, death, in consequence of her freedom from original sin and from personal sin, was not a consequence of punishment of sin. However, it seems fitting that Mary's body, which was by nature mortal, should be in conformity with that of her divine son, subject to the general law of death. Now, we've noted in the past that Jesus and Mary, because they were free of the pains of original sin, did not have to suffer or die. However, they could choose the path of suffering and death in order to contribute to our redemption, which our Lord definitely did. Here we see this beautiful truth here. The Blessed Virgin Mary did in fact die, but she did not die as a punishment of original sin. It says right here in the passage that she died to be in total conformity with her divine son. I mean, this is an absolutely beautiful truth. Listen to the way that St. Francis de Sales puts it. He says this: the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, died of love for her son. It is impossible to conceive of her death as having been anything except a death of love, which is the most noble of all deaths, and a fitting crown of the most noble of all lives. This is absolutely beautiful. The Blessed Virgin Mary did not die because she had to. She chose the pathway of death to be perfectly conformed to our son. We know, we've discovered that Mary intercedes on our behalf. The graces in her overflow into our lives. She prays for us. We've discovered all these great truths. Here's another great truth. The Blessed Virgin Mary is the perfect model of discipleship. In Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, it says this: Jesus tells his disciples, if any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. In order to be disciples of our Lord, we have to pick up our cross and follow him. We must become like our Lord in all things. This beautiful truth of Mary's death is that she preceded us on this path. We began this month by discussing the fact that she wants to lead us to her son. Even to the end of her life, she is the perfect model for us. And so when each one of us is struggling day in and day out to die to our selfishness and die to our sin and die to our temptations, we can look to the Mother of God, who chose physical death to be perfectly conformed to her son. And that's an absolutely beautiful truth. Now, though Mary had a temporal death, she was assumed body and soul to heaven. So we're going to look at Mary's bodily assumption, and then we're going to look at her queenship in heaven, her coronation as Queen Mother of Heaven and Earth. And if you guys have been in the habit this month of praying that rosary, you notice that these are the fourth and fifth glorious mysteries. So we're going to look at those a little bit today. Let's start with a quote from Pope Pius XII. This is from 1946. He says this: we pronounce and declare and define it to be divinely revealed dogma that the Immaculate Mother of God, the ever-Virgin Mary, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into glory. Absolutely beautiful. Now, all saints that have died before, of course, their souls are in heaven with God, enjoying the beatific vision. But for Mary, she has assumed body and soul together. Now, why is this the case? I picked out two basic reasons. First, as we've discovered, the Blessed Virgin Mary is completely free of original and personal sins. Because she's free of it, it makes sense It's fitting that she wouldn't suffer the full consequences of sin. So though she dies in a temporal fashion, she doesn't have to suffer the pain of her soul and body being separated for very long. And so it makes sense of her freedom from sin that Christ would raise her body and soul. The second reason why this makes sense is her motherhood of God. We began this month by looking at the fact that all the great things we believe about her follow from her divine maternity, the fact that she's God's mother. And this is true here as well, okay? It's fitting that the Blessed Virgin Mary would share in the lot of her son. Her son was raised bodily from the dead, and it makes sense that she would as well. And I want to key you guys in on a really beautiful truth about our Blessed Mother that helps shed some light on this. In the Old Testament, you had the Ark of the Old Covenant, okay? In Exodus 25 through 30, God gives very specific directions on how he's going to fashion his Ark, okay? Now in Exodus 25:8, God says that the ark is where he himself would dwell among his people. Okay, it says this, and let them make a sanctuary so that I may dwell in their midst. So God fashions this beautiful ark so that he can dwell in the midst of his people. Okay, the Blessed Virgin Mary is the ark of the new covenant. She is the dwelling place of our Lord. Listen to this. In Psalm 132:8 says this, "Arise, O Lord, and go to thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy might." So we see a prophecy here where we see the Lord rising up to the resting place in heaven, and his ark goes as well. It's a prefigurement of the Blessed Virgin. Listen to Revelation chapter 11, verse 19. "Then God's temple in heaven was opened, and the ark of his covenant was seen within his temple." Mary is the Ark of the New Covenant. And in both these passages, it shows that she's been raised alongside her son into the place of glory. Absolutely beautiful truth. Now, the question before us is, if Mary's assumed into heaven, well, what's her role now? When Mary was assumed into heaven, she was placed as Queen Mother of Heaven and Earth. This is called the Coronation of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's one of my favorite mysteries of the Rosary. Absolutely beautiful truth here. Languedoc says this, after being assumed into heaven and being raised above the angels and the saints, we've talked about that in the past too, that she's above all the angels and saints. She's below the Blessed Trinity, of course, but she's above the angels and saints. Mary reigns with Christ, her divine son. Mary's right to reign as queen of heaven is a consequence of her divine motherhood. There we go again. Everything's flown from her motherhood. And on her intrinsic connection with Christ and his work of redemption. She is intimately tied in Christ's work of redemption because really without him, the incarnation can't take place. So she is tied into our redemption from our sins so tightly that God raises her up as Queen Mother of Heaven and Earth. Now, Mary's queenship is truly universal. Okay, it's not particular. It's not cut off to one little part of, you know, the solar system or something, right? She doesn't just get this tiny little bit. Her queenship is universal. As we're going to discover next week when we look at the kingship of our Lord, Jesus Christ, our King, his reign is universal. Her reign is also universal. There's no region that her reign does not touch. So how does her reign affect us here on earth? Well, one, she dispenses graces, which we've discussed, this superabundance of grace she has overflowing into us. She gives us a good example of all the virtues. If you want to look for the perfect woman, the perfect example of virtue and strength, you need no look no further than the Blessed Virgin. She also enlightens the apostles. She was a light unto them and us. Think of her apparitions at Lourdes and La Salette and Fatima. She enlightens our mind to these great truths of faith and encourages us to stay faithful. So Blessed Virgin Mary is Queen Mother of Earth. What about heaven? In heaven, the Blessed Virgin Mary communicates Christ's light and glory to the angels and the saints. Okay, she sheds light on that to them. She participates in that. She manifests Christ's plan for the extension of his kingdom as well. She participates in our mission down here by interceding for us. What about those in purgatory? In purgatory, for those in purgatory, she prompts people to the faithful on the earth, that is, we Catholics, to pray for souls and offer masses there. My wife has recently told me that she has a real burden on her heart to pray for people in purgatory. That's an example of our Blessed Mother sending those graces and inspiring her to do so. Maybe some of you have a special devotion to praying for people in purgatory. The Blessed Mother has a hand in that. Lastly, the demons are obligated to recognize her power and authority. So her power and authority even descends into hell. And if you talk to, ever listen to exorcists give testimonies, they'll talk about the fact that the demons are terrified of our Blessed Mother. So the Blessed Mother is queen of heaven. She's a queen of earth. She's a queen of purgatory. And her queenship and authority even descends down into the pits around the demons. Her queenship is truly universal. Now, if it's true that our Blessed Mother died, were to be like her in her death, we should have the same desire to follow that path of death, whether it's dying to ourselves in this life or seeing death as the pathway and doorway into eternity. So we want to be inspired by her in that. The Blessed Mother was assumed body and soul into heaven. We also, if we remain faithful to Christ, will be assumed up to heaven. We'll be, the better term is resurrected from the dead. And we'll get our bodies back and reign with Christ for all eternity. The Blessed Virgin Mary is also our Queen Mother. And this is the application I'm going to leave you guys with this week. Next week, we're going to talk about Christ's kingship. But I want to focus on the fact that Christ is our King and Mary's our Queen. I think all of us owe a service to ourselves to really meditate on what this means. Now, the Blessed Virgin Mary is our mother. Okay, we discovered that when Jesus gave her to us as our mother when John stood in our stead at the foot of the cross. We are her sons. Like any good mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary is gentle and meek and loving. And it's important that we meditate on that. That she's warm, that we can come to her with our concerns. We can ask for her our prayers and she'll meet us. But guys, we also have to remember that she's our queen. Like any good mother, the Blessed Virgin Mary wants us to grow up. I've taken tremendous joy in preparing these podcasts for you guys this week. Just meditating on who the Blessed Virgin Mary is has been just really an awesome blessing. But I would encourage all of us not to let our devotion become too sentimental. What I mean is Mary doesn't want us just to be sons. She wants us to grow up to be men. We have a queen. She needs to be defended and honored. And men do just that. Listen in Ephesians chapter 4. This is what St. Paul says. He says he urges us to lead a life worthy of the calling we've been called. He says his mission is to build up the body of Christ to mature manhood and raise us to the full stature of Christ. Men, we have to grow up spiritually. We should view ourselves as sons of the Blessed Mother, and that's a very beautiful truth. But the Blessed Mother wants us to become the men that God called us to be. Gentlemen, we are part of the church militant, not the church impotent. By our baptism, we share in Christ's threefold ministry of priest, prophet, and king. What are we doing within our families and our communities and our parishes to exercise that authority well? Are we committed to serving Christ the King and the Blessed Virgin Mary, our Queen, to our utmost ability? This is a high calling. It's a beautiful calling. It's an inspiring calling. And I want to encourage you guys, as you're praying the rosary this week and as you continue to do that for the rest of your life, remember the Blessed Virgin Mary is our Queen Mother of heaven and earth. She's going to intercede for us. She's going to encourage us. She's going to inspire us to become the men she wants us to be. Next week, we'll tackle the question of Christ the King. Should be very exciting. Hope you guys have an awesome week. I'll see you next time.